afternoon, the Creation Podcast comes to you from rehearsals for Wind in the Willows. I'm joined by Tristan.
Hello.
Who is the director for Wind in the Willows and also artistic director?
I am.
Of Cherwell Theatre Company.
Without the question mark, usually.
No, you used to guess other people's job titles. It's just the worst thing. It's like, they also work here. Artistic director. I know that you direct. Just depends what people's words are. So, we are outside, but who is inside the rehearsal room today?
Yeah, so our young cast, seven of our young cast, and our movement director, Suzette Watson, who is doing some amazing weasel and rabbit based choreography with them this afternoon.
They're so amazing. They're like little sponges. Lucy and I popped in just to sort of say hello to everyone, and you watch them go through a dance sequence. It's like they must have been doing this for a couple of days, and they haven't. They've just learnt it then, and then off they go. I guess you're like rigorous training.
This is true. I mean, many of the young people in the show have done many shows with us, with Cherwell Theatre Company before. So, but I think one thing that always unifies them is that we don't really take any prisoners or any nonsense. We kind of, especially Suzette, she's very disciplined, and they know what's expected of them, really, and they really like to be challenged. Sponges is a good word. They kind of work with us to soak up as much as they can from the people they work with, and I think they're very excited to meet a whole host of new creation actors.
New people, so this is our sort of third year for creation in Banbury, but it's the first year where we're teaming up with Cherwell Theatre Company, and confusing because we use the same acronym. There's two CTCs in all the documents.
Confusing or perfect.
Or maybe it was meant
perfect
to be.
Marriage.
So for the kind of creationists who might not know who CTC are, like, what's the, give us the potted history. Like, what's the mission?
I've just been doing this on lots of funding applications.
Hooray! Then you'll be right very in my good. Head. Full of jargon. No one will know what you're talking about.
Here we go, but within 100 or so characters. So CTC, we've been making work in Banbury since 2004. I've been artistic director since 2014, but have long admired the company. And we kind of work, we're a youth-focused organisation, so every project we do always has young people right at the heart of it. So whether that's our Christmas productions, which combine professional actors and a professional director and design team with usually kind of 30-plus young people. This is a very condensed, smaller kind of project for us, in a sense. But then throughout the year, we run a thriving youth theatre. We have take young people from the age of 12, and so we have a group of 12 to 16 year olds who are fantastic. They're working on a murder mystery at the moment, which is very exciting. We're doing it Little Amsterdam, so murder with some pancakes. That's going to be
perfect,
really
combo.
Nice. Yeah. And then we've got a 16 plus group. We say 16 plus because they don't tend to leave anymore, really. They seem to stay with us a long time until some of them go off to drama school, which is lovely. We've just had a couple start at different schools around the country in September. We're very much a learning theatre company, and we try and work with people that really enjoy kind of the youthful energy and kind of enthusiasm that our participants bring. So as I say, we're working with four new faces who aren't all new to me but are certainly new to our young cast in Wind in the Willows, and they're very excited to meet some new people and, like you say, sponge up some craft from them.
And so do they tend to be, because so the sort of creation equivalent is our kind of drama club and our sort of holiday workshops and things, and they but they run from 6 to 16, so it's more of a kind of social activity, like, you know, like you might have clarinet lessons or you might play basketball or something, and so it's just a kind of a sort of extra string to their bow, whereas it sounds like CTC is like a sort of, it's a kind of route to professional training. Like, are they kind of, they're thinking they might be actors, or they might want to be in some kind of creative industry, or they're like, they're just that little bit older, so they're kind of, they've got career suddenly popped up and everyone keeps saying it to them.
In a sense, and we many of them do, but we're always keen to say that really I think the essence of it, if you're in Banbury or Banburyshire and you're just interested in theatre production in any kind of sense, because we also have young people who are budding writers, and we have often with our shows people shadow stage management and things like that, and we've had a few people who have come through onto the technical side and are now working professionally as lighting and sound designers, which is really exciting as well. But actually, it's just a place where you can kind of be imaginative and express yourself, and the content of work we do always feels very frenetic and youthful, and that's kind of even as the people who run it get older, we try and keep injecting that within. So, yeah, and again, that's a legacy that this company has that I can't take credit for, that I've inherited, in that we have professional actors work with us frequently who have come all the way through that youth theatre, gone to drama school, and now come back because they believe it's a positive thing in their community, and then they can continue sharing that knowledge with younger people. But yeah, we have loads of people who I think just like coming to muck about.
Yeah. And you're interested in, like, I think it's such an interesting kind of having sort of worked in theatre for like a few years now, that when you're from the outside, so often, I can be doing anything, I can be flyering, or I can be like having a meeting about the sort of, you know, chairs or something really kind of to me mundane, and someone will say, "Do you act?" Because actually, people really, the jobs are, you can be the writer or the actor, and those are the jobs in theatre. And I think it's such a, it kind of demystifies it if you can say, are you interested? Because these are all the things you could do. You could be a stage manager, you could be, like, there are so many jobs that are connected to theatre, but that don't involve, you know, standing and talking to everyone, which is a really interesting kind of way of opening up that industry.
Yeah,
that you probably don't imagine those are the jobs you can do.
Do you know how I define it? And because I think that's what you've hit on there. I would define it as a certain kind of people. Whenever I work in theatre, I'm like, these are my people.
Here they are.
Yeah. They've been here the whole time. Yeah. And you're certainly one of those people. And I think that's what you mean.
Yeah,
right?
That you just sort of think, oh, I don't have to. I can be interested in this without feeling like, but I don't think I want to stand up there and learn the lines and kind of do that part of it. But I'd be interested in being involved in it. I think that's a really important kind of, door that you can open for all these kind of kids who are just interested in what might that be like.
It's so exciting, and it's great when they discover a different side. I'm always really proud when we do kind of shorter form projects sometimes, like we do a play in a week every summer, and we've had people who have acted with us for a long time saying, do you know what, I would love to have a go at being a stage manager for a week, and we can bring in a professional to kind of work with them, but that's a whole other side that's opened up to them.
I always say I wish someone had told me stage manager existed. I think it might actually be my dream job. You get all the stationery, get all the scheduling, make all the tea all the time, look after everyone, like administer the ice packs when people fall off the stage. I think it actually is the dream job. But it's too late now, I should have worked it out earlier. I think my job is a lot of that.
I think it is.
And some other stuff. And podcasts. That, plus podcasts.
Yes.
Here we are. Okay, cool. And so, as well as being the artistic director of CTC, you're also the director, here we go, of like, what the heck are the jobs, of Wind in the Willows.
Yeah.
So that kind of, from running the company to just running the show.
Yeah.
So that's, what's that going to be like? Like, what are you expecting? What have you done so far? Where are we? Like, it's what opens in, can't be very many, like 4, 5, 6 weeks, something like that.
It's very soon. So we start kind of full rehearsals in 2 weeks. So we're doing a little bit of extra work with the young cast, as we always do each year, before things kick in and we bring everyone together. The professional actors arrive and we knuckle down to sort of 3 very intensive weeks before we open on the 8th of December. It's a really long road prepping a show like this. It really is. I mean, I've been kind of having meetings and discussions with all sorts of different kind of creatives about this for, about 4 or 5 months now. And also, it's a real monster of a show. There's so much in it. It's a really fantastic adaptation. I should say, for any of your listeners who aren't aware, some of you may have seen this in 2014 at the North Wall.
Yes.
So this is a revival. Listen to your podcast about revivals this morning. It's fantastic.
Yes. Lucy is very informative about these things. So it's a sort of adaptation, I guess, if you can adapt something that was already an adaptation, because this Make in Banbury is just, it has a different kind of scale to the Oxford show. So we took a script that was for 8 sort of, you know, actors, and then the collaboration with CTC suddenly opens up the possibility, because the Banbury shows are done with 4 actors, but actually if you add in the young cast, then suddenly you don't have this problem of how can Toad also play Chief Weasel, because Chief Weasel's being played by 2 amazing young people, because they have to kind of switch around because they've got stuff to do. So it sort of opens up the gates, really, for what can we do with this show and kind of bring it back. Bring back the kind of the songs and the kind of the shape of it, but it's also like totally up for grabs for kind of moving stuff and changing stuff. And
yeah,
so yeah, it's an interesting process to not really, it's not as much of a straight revival, I guess, as the other revivals that we've done recently, where you just sort of, you're adapting because you're a different setting and different actors. This is a different kind of setup,
yeah,
but with the same raw materials to start with.
Exactly, and I think one of the nice things that we always do when we make work as a company is we feel like it's really important to sort of have the voice of the young people in it. And so they're always heavily involved in kind of workshopping scripts and playing with ideas. And what's lovely about this adaptation is there's this gorgeous framing device around it of this a bunch of people on a canal holiday, a big family. So we've got these four kind of grown-ups, I'm using inverted commas for the podcasters, and perhaps their teenage children on a barge holiday. And what do you know, they stop off to, you know, have a cup of tea, find some breakfast, walk into this old abandoned theatre, which is the Mill, and what do you know, there's some people there to watch a show. I'm really looking forward to, as we explore further, playing around with what the dynamics of that family are and how various squabbles may arise, and what the young people's take on these different characters are. We've got them playing rabbits, we've got them playing weasels. There's a lot of interesting new stuff to be found, I think, and I'm really excited about just bringing them together with these other actors and hundreds of props and seeing what we can make, because the concept is very much kind of a bit like the rehearsal room that we're in at the moment, full of all kinds of junk that we're going to repurpose into all sorts of exciting theatrical images. So I think there's going to be lots of extensive play in rehearsals.
I often think that that's like sort of one of the characteristics of a creation show. It's so difficult. People say this like, oh, it was just what we expected and wasn't what we expected. And but I think one of the sort of things in common is that you can see the kind of workings out, it's not, if someone's going to get, there's a kind of car chase sequence in this, there won't be a little model car on the stage. It will be made from something in that they pick up in the kind of set and the scenery. But that seems to involve the audience. It's like, you have to be in this with us because we don't have a car, so we need you. We believe that this is a car now, and we're totally seeing a car, and all the cast are in a car now. And so you need to kind of join in and be like, oh, okay, I'm taking that as a car, like, that's all right, rather than trying to sort of have the super high production values of like, oh my god, we projected a perfect car onto this thing. It's like, there's some real fun in involving the audience and going, okay, well, I'm holding up this teacup, but I'm on the phone, like, making that sort of an in-joke, basically, between the audience and the cast, that they're kind of, they're in it together.
Absolutely.
Just create the world.
Yeah,
that the show lives in.
Poor theatre for years, you know how that feels. But no, you're quite right. I think one thing that we've really experimented with, especially over the last kind of two or three Christmas shows we've done, is how much we can get the audience to engage. What different stuff can we do with them? How can we surprise them in different ways? And I think that's something I always get when I see a creation show as well. So it's one of the nice ways that we kind of fit together.
This always just ends up like every time we have this, yeah, Christmas shows mostly, but other shows too, where we'll watch a kind of a, you know, a tech run, and then one of the notes that Lucy will give is, I think that you could like get more involved with the audience, you know, like try and sort of bring them in a bit more. Just involves with the actors drinking people's drinks. Like, as soon as they hear that, they're like, ding!
We've
I'm
certainly
gonna pick up someone's drink.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, but it's a really fun way to kind of, and because it's, yeah, because it has this kind of riverbank, like, everywhere is fair game. So we've got a mixture of seating at the Mill this year, so it's kind of some of the raked seating that you'd expect, and then there's half a dozen tables gathered around the stage, which suddenly does open up this world of, like, can I sit at your table? Can I drink a drink? What's that you're reading? And kind of actually getting, like, don't be terrified of sitting on the table at the front, because it's going to be really
it's
fun.
Good point. Those are the best seats in the house, yeah. And don't worry. Just put a lid on whatever you're drinking.
And they're quite good at reading. I always think this I always kind of say this to the cast, like, I'm always in awe of their ability to kind of, like, Cinderella had loads last year of before the show and at the end of the interval, the cast would go out kind of 5 minutes before the show was due to start and just do business. Just like, yeah, but they're so good at sensing. Mm. Like, you can just tell from someone's body language, are they quite keen? Usually are they with a younger child who kind of wants to play? Mm. And if they're not, if they're just trying to avoid your eye, just don't go anywhere near them.
I think I need to look at my own body language, because whenever I go see theatre with my daughter, I always get picked up. And that's happened at a lot of creation shows.
Looking too friendly, yeah. Trying to look more...
closed off.
Yeah, like you're just like, don't talk to me, don't talk to me.
It's a nightmare for me also, because whenever I see a comedian, as soon as they've picked on you, you tell them your name's Tristan, and you're just opening up, and then you tell them you're an actor or a director, and you're opening up an absolute can of worms.
They don't even have to be nice to you anymore. It's like all bets are off.
Potential disaster. But let's go back to the show.
Yeah, sorry, the show. As well as the cast being a hybrid, it has a kind of hybrid team. There's you, who's a new director to creation, but then the design is still being done by Ryan, our associate designer, so everyone will recognise the stripes. I was in rehearsals earlier today with the youth chorus here in the Oxford show, and one of them who's been in it a couple of years now is like, when do we get all our stripes to wear? When do we get all our stripes? I was like, stop being such a smart aleck. There probably will be loads of stripes though. But yeah, so you can expect Ryan stripy costumes, and we've got kind of Matt's soundscape, which is kind of common to all creation shows, and yeah, some of it's kind of eerie and spooky and fun, but that's kind of being implemented by a CTC
Adrian who's doing some more sound design for us. It's going to feel very immersive. The sound is going to be as beautiful as the lighting and the set. Oh gosh, I'm very excited about the set as well.
Absolutely
gorgeous. It's going to be an absolute woodland dream, and I can't wait to play around with seeing what light we can throw on it and how we can make it feel like different seasons. And gosh, it's going to just be a wonderful combination of practical effects, lighting and sound. I mean, I get very carried away with sound design anyway, but Adrian and I had a meeting kind of yesterday and looked through a lot of the sound we've already got and the other stuff we want to do, and there's double the amount of sound cues than anything I've ever done. The last thing I just did was something where the ethos of the company was no sound or lighting. So it's nice to go, let's get out all the toys and
all
play with
the
them.
Sound and all the lights.
Yeah,
and it has a kind of, it's a bit of a cheat, I think, for us, because we're so, it's always like, what's the venue? How does the venue inform the show? And we, you know, the most kind of heated discussions at creation are always like, well, someone's come along with this venue, but we can't just whack a Shakespeare in there because that would be lame and we don't want to do that. But it's an abandoned theatre, because there's something a bit sort of dissonant with the creation kind of site-specific vision of being in theatres. Yeah. But not if you make it an abandoned theatre that they've kind of stumbled upon. So then you get the joy of like, it shouldn't feel too slick. Like, it shouldn't feel like, oh, look, here's the Proscenium Arch and here's the wings and all that stuff. It kind of has that feeling of, like, this could be an abandoned theatre that we've all just wandered into, but it's also going to have the, you know, lovely, like you say, lovely lights on it and amazing bits of twig everywhere.
Of course, but I mean, I'm saying that. I just come from that world of, I did a lot of kind of Brecht early on in my career, and I come from, I think theatre is the medium to be creative and create, and, you know, name the company, to create as many images as you can. I don't want to see a car drive on stage particularly. We'll go see Grease if I want to see that. I want to see people playing with their limitations and making clever choices, really. So we're going to make as many of those as we can. I think the thing we're really going to try and emphasise in this production, this lovely book, it's a funny old book, really, isn't it? I think it's one of those ones that just feels so kind of in the British consciousness that we all feel we sort of know it, even if we haven't read
and
it.
And everyone is so wrong about it. Is that one of those, so often with creation, you get a show and you're like, oh yeah, Jekyll and Hyde, I know about that. You don't know the story. Like, I didn't know the story until we did it. And Willow's, probably just because, well, everyone of my generation, I think, has seen the, like, stop frame one that with, like, David Jason as Toad.
Yes,
we had that, like, taped when I was a kid. Which is lovely. It's lovely. But it doesn't, it kind of, it's the sort of children's picture book version of the actual book, which is it even for children? Like, you read some of it and you're like, this might just be for grown-ups. Like,
it's really interesting. It's beautiful. And I mean, I tried to read some of it to my daughter a couple of years ago when she was probably a bit too young for it. And I think what's interesting is, I mean, by contrast, I'm reading Harry Potter now. We're on book number 4. It's a big undertaking.
Yes, it starts to get longer from there.
I know. Gosh, we're about halfway through it. But there's something about those books where it's just full of incident. It's kind of stuff
pace,
all the time. Pace, bang, bang, bang. Great characters, of course. Amazing world, but stuff happening.
Yeah.
And then you read sort of six pages of beautiful descriptions of rivers, which, I mean, I just, amazing, I'll live in those forever. But she's, right, what's happening?
Well, yeah, is he going to do something soon?
Which is fair enough, but I think what people do, if you take the time to dig into the book and find ways of bringing it to life, like lots of like that beautiful stop frame version and the Alan Bennett and all that kind of stuff. I haven't seen the one in the West End at the moment, I think best not to see that. But I think what really kind of is enduring are the characters, and yeah, they're characters that you can put on a biscuit tin and they're looking but actually what Gary, the adapter, has done really well in this version is give them all a really nice kind of journey to go on. They're these four kind of disparate, eccentric, slightly isolated, slightly damaged, weird people in a way, and the story's all about friendship and looking after your friends even when they kind of act like idiots. And I think what this adaptation does really well is it doesn't just make it all the Toad show. I mean, Toad's in there, he's going to be excellent, you're going to have a great time enjoying Toad and hoping that he never learns anything from his mistakes because he's
secretly
so much fun,
like rooting for him to trick Ratty and make his escape.
Exactly. But you also get just wonderful, and I know with the actors we've cast you're going to get really wonderful, interesting characterisations from the Mole and Rat. And Badger is a fascinating chap as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he becomes in rehearsals. So I think it's beautifully adapted, and the adaptation has movement to it, and it has got pace, and it's got some weird incongruous moments that you'd expect from creation and indeed from CTC shows. So I think there's really going to be something for everyone in this, and I think you're going to go away just really loving these characters and feeling like they've been well served, if you are someone who does know about the book and appreciates it.
If you're dedicated to your like Mole and Matty duo, that's a really nice bit of the show.
Beautiful duo, and we've gender flipped them, because why should it all be blokes? That's absolute nonsense. And I think it's going to be a very nice friendship between two women, I say, although they're animals.
Although does it matter? Is it just a mole? Okay. Who knows? Yeah. Well, they're like, I can hear them like stomping away behind us doing their dance crawl, so you should probably go and see what they've made.
See what's going on.
See what they've got up to.
This is the fun part where I just get to sit back and watch other people create amazing things.
Yes, well done.
Things.
You're very sweaty. I appreciate your efforts.
Exactly.
That's what they've been doing. All right, well, like we say, I should know how many weeks, but some weeks, the beginning
weeks.
Of December.
Yeah. 8th of December.
We'll
get those tickets booked. Remembered.
We'll see you then. Thanks very much, Tristan.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Creation Theatre podcast. You can find more episodes and all the latest creation news at creationtheatre.co.uk.